Hello and God bless you. Turn with me to the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew. We'll start in verse 20. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and they just didn't get what you were talking about? Now they heard your words, understood the words, but didn't have a clue what you were talking about. That happened to Jesus a lot, particularly when it involved the kingdom. His followers were thoroughly schooled from birth in the Jewish tradition that expected the Messiah to be a conquering warrior. They did not understand that all of the prophecies that pointed to a physical kingdom actually refer to the end times as predicted in the book of Revelations and Daniel. The disciples spent a lot of time jockeying for position in the physical kingdom they expected. They had a pecking order among themselves. John's mother went so far as to ask Jesus to give John and his brother the honored ruling positions of right and left hand at court. It's not that Jesus didn't say it plainly enough. He did. He said it was not an earthly kingdom. His followers got both the where and the when wrong. He was talking about a spiritual kingdom. They understood physical kingdom of Israel. They were thinking of a Jewish kingdom where the Romans had been expelled. Jesus was talking about the Spirit of Christ living within believers. Let's crack open the book and step into one of these conversations. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Now can you imagine the Zebedee family conversations among the brothers, mom, and cousins that led up to this request? Do you suppose they had already been out shopping for their courtly robes? We know that this wasn't just a spontaneous question put forth by a proud mom. The account in the book of Mark ascribes the question to the two brothers. It was their idea. They were using their mom as an agent. There was obviously some discussion and strategy planning involved leading up to the asking for the number two and number three power positions in the kingdom of Israel. Politics at its best. Verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them to whom it is prepared of my Father. Verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. According to Webster, indignation is anger aroused by something unjust, unworthy, or mean. The 10 thought that the two sons of Zebedee were taking unfair advantage. They were jockeying for position in a physical earthly kingdom. The kingdom of Israel. The 10 were more than just a little ticked off. All of the 12 and their families did not understand. Look at verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Now this is what the two were asking, to have dominion over the others, to rule over the court when Jesus moved into Herod's castle, just like the Gentile kings and the Jewish kings had done. Dominion comes from a Greek word that means to lord against or to subjugate. They were asking to be the bosses, the controllers, or the punishers. But Jesus said, But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, that is, servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And then Jesus uses himself as an example. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. You know, we've given the King James word minister meanings that it was never meant to have. The word minister is translated from a word that means to run errands, to wait tables. A servant does not have any dominion over those they serve. The idea of dominion of one believer over another is not new. In many churches, there are bosses, little bosses, and then the bossed. The power hierarchy is up front and blatant in some organizations and subtly hidden beneath the surface in others. The use of intimidation, deceit, fear, and shaming are used to keep bullied and exhausted followers in line. The first Jewish Christians continued to follow the religious laws of Moses, as do many, many denominational churches today. The leadership structure of almost all denominations are based on the old Jewish priesthood. The idea is that a few have a special anointing and have more authority and a better connection with God. The rest have to blindly follow their lead or suffer the consequences. This is why people go off chasing special preachers and prophets. They are trying to catch that special anointing and receive the upper level blessings that folks back home missed out on. It wasn't just the disciples that thought Jesus was setting up an earthly kingdom. The Jews thought so too. They were watching him closely, and they were afraid he was going to stir up the Romans. If he angered the Romans, those in power would lose their positions, power, and maybe their lives. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 20, I'll give you a couple of seconds to get there. That's Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus was asked by some Pharisees when he was planning to establish his kingdom. He again was very plain in his explanation. That's Luke 17, 20. It says, And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Of course they did not believe him, and still expected him to try to take Jerusalem by force. when multitudes began to follow him, everyone expected him to raise an army out of the crowd and storm the castle. When Jesus was arrested and taken before Pilate, he was accused of being the king of the Jews. Look at John chapter 18, verse 33. I'll give you a second. That's John, the Gospel of John, chapter 18, 33. John 18, 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of yourself? Or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Again, Jesus plainly states that he was not setting up a physical kingdom. He kept saying it, but nobody got it. Even after he was killed, rose again, and was preparing to ascend into heaven, the disciples still expected him to establish a physical earthly kingdom. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 6. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Now, this is just moments before the ascension of Jesus. Acts 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They had been told multiple times, but even after the resurrection, they still didn't get it. Notice that Jesus doesn't explain it again. He just tells them to wait for the coming of the Holy Ghost, that is, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, also known as the Spirit of Christ. Verse 7, And he said unto them, It's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now the disciples waited in hiding, because they were afraid of the Jews. They waited, still expecting Jesus to return to set up an earthly kingdom. Read the book of Acts and the book of Galatians. You'll find that the Jerusalem church never did get it. They received and were indwelled with the Spirit, but continued living under the law. They did their best to take the law to all who could be subdued by it. The gospel of Christ was given to Paul. Paul called it the mystery. It is Christ in you. The Jerusalem church hierarchy chased, persecuted, and harassed Paul for the rest of his life, and it continues today. Jesus said, It shall not be so among you. The nations do it. The Jews did it, but the church should not be subjugating one another. There is only one head of the church, Jesus Christ. The rest of us are brethren, and every joint supplies. Now let's wrap this up with another conversation of Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 24. I'll give you a second or two to get there. The setting of this passage is the Passover meal. It is the occasion we commonly call the Last Supper. Jesus has just told his disciples that one of them would soon betray him, and he would shed his blood for them. In the midst of his passionate pouring out of his heart, the disciples were busy arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom they expected Jesus to set up. Luke 22, verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. How plain can it be? Jesus said, It shall not be so among you. Yet today, the argument that started among the 12 still rages on. Who's going to be the boss? Who has authority over others? Whose anointing is greater? Who does God like best? Follow my rules, or else. My building is bigger than yours, so my truth must be better than yours. It's all a distraction to keep us from seeing the simplicity of Christ in us. We all have the very same anointing. Christ in you, the only hope of glory. No one has a better anointing than you. Any who claim a special anointing should be asked, Which God? And that's with a small g. Which God did you get it from? Because there's only one anointing from the Father of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, or the Comforter. As he lives in and through us, we manifest him. We carry out his ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. He is the one master. The rest of us are all brethren, joint heirs, full sharers of the inheritance of Jesus. There is no higher calling. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed.